Consider This Podcasting presents What's Next, Episode 8, Next Meets a Fiery End?
Welcome to What's Next, a podcast about the Fox TV series Next. I'm Eliza, and I'm just the narrator. Really? I'm not listening to everything you're saying. So sit back, relax, and try not to think about me. And now here are your hosts, Doug and Karen.
Well, yes, indeedy, we are back. And when I say we, welcome and thanks for joining us for this episode of What's Next, a podcast about the Fox TV series Next. I'm Doug Payton. And I am thrilled to say I'm together again for the first time with
Karen Lindsay.
Hey,
yay!
The crowd goes wild.
Hermit arms, yay! and I managed to escape from mono and needy clients to record again.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't good. And you'll be able to hear me with my voice going in and out probably over the next hour or so. we'll be discussing season 1, episodes 9 and 10, entitled, wait for it.
Come on. Give me
file something. 9 and file 10.
Oh.
I know you would think. Oh, no.
Give us a good finale name here for crying out loud. Wow.
It's file nally.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. That would have been better.
Nally. Yeah, it would have been, right?
Oh,
it's kind
man.
Of clever.
I'm impressed.
File Nally.
We are... Seriously, we are published. But seriously, folks, we're published by Consider This Podcasting. Come to next.ctpodcasting.com and you can find show notes and discussion. And these are going to be good show notes because Karen's doing them instead of me. I'll tell you right now.
Well, let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay, one step at a time.
Right.
We got you here. We're working on the other thing. Okay.
Right. Now, can we tell the listeners what your alternate title for this episode?
Yeah, we always come up with a few names for, you know, what the, you know, like I said, Next Meets a Fiery End. I had a few others in there, but the one that came in a really close second was Nothing's Next. And it was like,
aww.
Oh.
Yeah. And I went, wah, wah.
That just seemed a little too depressing.
It is. It's depressing. It makes me sad.
Yeah.
But hey, so nothing is next. I mean, it was true.
That is true. So you get a little peek behind what's going on, you know,
that's right.
Create this podcast for you.
One of the other ones was It Blowed Up Real Good, which if I'm not going to give away what it's from, but if you know what it's from, you're in on our joke.
Yeah. And you're about our age, too.
Yeah, probably.
Alrighty. Who did this?
We're talking about File 9, which was written by M. Raven Metzner and Adam Simon. And the director was Brad Turner. And File 10, I was really excited to see the people behind the curtain for this one. Manny Coto of Enterprise fame.
And also executive producer of this show, yeah.
That's right. This show, 24, Enterprise, a bunch of other stuff. Adam Simon, who is also the showrunner. And then directed by Adam Arkin.
Big name.
Who is a huge legend. I think of a lot of things when I think of him, but I think of Serpentine, most of all, from when he was that movie with Peter Falk. Where they were like on the run and they were handcuffed together. They run out of a plane and they go, Serpentine. I can't remember the name of it though.
Yeah, when I saw the name Adam Arkin there, I was like, is that Adam Arkin? And yeah. Sure enough, yeah.
And it is, yeah. What a great actor too. So, and he has a huge list of directing credits under his belt for those of you who don't know that. He's been directing for a long time, probably 15 years, maybe more. So, yeah, he's got chops, definitely.
Very good. So that was nice. I wish we could have pulled him in maybe earlier and gotten some more ratings. Who knows? And speaking of ratings, the ratings for the last two were, you know, 9 and 10 were kind of on par with, we had gone from a rating of 0.3 in the Magic 18 to 49 demo, a rating of 0.3. Had gone down to 0.26, 0.25, and then we just bounced along the bottom there at 2.20. But on 8, we kind of moved back up to 4, 9 was 2.5, and 10 was 2.2. What do you mean? These people tuned out after file 9? Come on.
I know. I don't get it.
There was
I honestly don't get it.
A total of 1.1 million viewers for 9 and 0.98 for 10. I guess they just thought, nope, not, don't care. It's like, at least stick around for one more hour, guys.
Right? I don't know what was on opposite that second hour.
Ah, that could be.
But, I mean, I didn't even look. I didn't think to look. But it may have been something came on against it that people wanted to tune over for. But still, I mean, it's the last episode of this show that you've been watching. whatever.
Well, DVR and watching, you know, February or something.
Yeah, and mind you, this next is on several different viewing platforms. It's on Peacock, and some of the episodes are still on Hulu. And of course, you can watch on demand through your cable provider. So they may have been thinking they could go back and watch next at that point, but still a little loyalty would have been nice.
Would have been nice. Well, and so you're looking at those numbers and it's like, that's not going to survive the chopping block. So, no. So we did get our season. We did get our story. So that's important too.
Yes, very important. I would have been really mad if we didn't get the end of it.
Man alive.
Really mad.
All right, speaking of which, let's talk about the shows here, the episodes and whatever.
Now let's get to the episode discussion, so I can see how well I'm taking over the world.
Why do I break into a Brooklyn accent whenever I say stuff like that? I don't know. It's I'm sorry very much. Yes.
When did we stop hearing Eliza?
We heard her one more time, didn't we?
Like maybe what, the third or fourth episode? And then we didn't
when he bashed her in real good. I'm trying to think. I thought we heard Eliza at one more point later on in the season.
It would have been nice to see, like, Eliza out in the wild.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Something happening when the blackouts were happening, or, you know, someone asking, what are the blackouts about? And they're on, like, a generator.
Oh, yes.
So their electricity's still on or whatever. And they ask, you know, so what's going on outside, Eliza? And Eliza going, everything is fine.
Yeah. This is fine. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. But I was sad that we didn't get to see her very much.
Yeah. To really make you freak out with your little smart speaker there. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I gave file number 9. I gave it, I was pretty much even for both of these. I gave it 8 borrowed glasses. Okay. That was an interesting little idea there. And then file 10, I gave 8 key cards left on the table. That was very interesting to see. When I watched it the second time, to take some notes. It's like, oh, yeah, you see that it happens. But I kind of missed that the first time.
And I think he did it on purpose, but we'll talk about that later.
But anyway, yes.
I also gave both episodes an 8. I gave episode 9, 8 birthday LAN parties.
In the bus, yes.
Yep, in the bus. And they're called LAN parties, but I thought it was cool that it was a birthday LAN party, which is... So are you Tad's father? Yep, just don't tell him his mother's new husband. That was funny. And then 10 is 8 Paul, all in capitals, talks.
As opposed to his brother.
No, like Ted talks.
Yeah, his brother Ted.
Ted, right.
There we go.
Exactly. So it's Paul talks.
Paul talks, and he certainly does. Fred from the Netherlands gave us some. He said 9 was 8.7. You don't want to be that guy's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Chernobyl. No. And number 10, he boosted it up a little bit. He gave him 9 pretty stupid super intelligences.
Yes. Good line.
They're pretty stupid, yes.
For and a really smart intelligence, you're pretty stupid.
We got a couple of screenshots. Maybe we can throw into the show notes where Fred got... liked by Elizabeth Cappuccino, who plays Abby, So mm-hmm. she liked his tweet. About, he usually will tweet about, you know, watching next, this episode, whatever. And whenever he's listening to our podcast, he will say, listening to such and such, listening to what's next, and da 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 da. So that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, and I always like them.
I appreciate that. Yes. Tags us mm-hmm. all in them. Okay. First, we're going to start with file number 9 because we have feedback specifically for 9. Fred also divvied up his feedback audio. For 9 separately from 10. So we're going to do 9 first, and then do that, his feedback. So as far as file 9 goes, we had a few story titles, didn't we? Yes.
We did. A story title, Real Mole, Fake Mole, and that is Ben/Gina. So Ben is the real
Ben
mole.
And Gina's the
Gina's
fake
a fake mole.
You got a,
I mean, she's a real mole.
You got a mole right there.
Yeah, ought to get that removed.
No, sorry, it's a fake mole. Don't worry.
Yeah, right.
It's just there for the for the fashion statement.
That's right, like Marilyn Monroe.
There you are.
The B story title would be "A Wild Ex-Wife Appears." That's kind of a thing that we say in the gaming community again, like a wild whatever appears, like something comes out of the blue.
That goes way back to text adventures and stuff like that. And
exactly. A wild grue appears.
That's right.
Yep. C story title is Dumpster Fire. And that is, of course, what we've been calling the Fortress of Solitude. I don't have any bonus story titles, but there are a couple, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Well, we had a pretty bad mishap with Ben's dad. I mean, first of all, we find out he's the deputy director of naval intelligence. So this is a guy who's got some push and some pull. And so to get next in their paws, in their clutches, would be a really big deal.
Right.
And Ben, I mean, this sounded to me like, I don't know if it was if it was fear or if it was respect. Well, you know, it could be one or the other. When Ben calls his dad sir, when I hear that, it's like, you know, why? Maybe it's a military thing. Maybe it is. I don't know that.
I'm thinking he was super strict military dad.
Could be.
And,
yeah,
you know, you have your kids call you sir. I mean, that it happens a lot with military dads that are really strict. So I could see that. I think that it was probably a little bit of both and also a little bit of my dad's a hero kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So like he looked up to his dad. He was scared of his dad and he wanted to give him respect. I think that was, it was like a combination thing because he seemed nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. The first time it was. When we saw him first call him, you know, I believe in just the previous episode, it was he looked a bit nervous. Ben looked a bit nervous. Then when we find out it's his dad, then it's like, oh, well, he's nervous around his dad. You know, this kind of we get this kind of reaction around his dad. So, but then we do this whole interaction here was it kind of layered onto that.
That's right. And it kind of cemented why he would do this. And he obviously cared about his father, as we find out, because he collapses when he finds out his father died. Now, why did they kill his dad?
I don't get that.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Because he was on their side.
He was. He wanted to, you know, he had the right motivation that Nex could, you know, could exploit. And, you know, we're going to use it for good. Imagine, okay, fine. So that means that he is going to be very protective of it, very interested in getting it to you make it useful for the Navy or for the armed forces in general. Mm-hmm. I would think that's the kind of guy you want on your side. You know, with the
keep around.
At least
good.
Keep around. Yes.
Right. It does give Ben motivation. So I think that story-wise, that's why it happened.
Mm.
But I don't understand why Nex would kill him.
Yeah.
I don't. That was one of the things that had me scratching my head about this episode, why it didn't get a higher grade from me. There were a couple things, but that one was one. It just stood right out. Why would they kill his dad? I wasn't quite sure. So, but yeah, I was not a fan of dad at all. And, probably had the shortest tenure of a dad on this show.
Barb kept talking about making sure we are trying to keep track of a body count in this show. And man, alive.
Oh no, yeah. Can't do it. Can't
just
do
too
it.
Much. Just too much. Yeah. Huh?
Well, at least we don't have to count much in the NSA building. Just,
oh wow. Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
But that one, I'm not sure about. So we'll talk about that later.
It would be, and we'd also have to count all those people in the FBI building when the suicide bomber went off. Wow.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot. Hundreds, yeah. I'm thinking.
Hundreds. Well, speaking of the NSA, our intrepid Natalie got fired for this fake email that we know that Next, put together to frame her. One thing I wanted, I did notice in this was that there was a lot of good acting from our regulars, but I didn't feel that the Natalie character was done a good job with. I mean, as far as just the acting, she just felt acting, you know?
Right.
Did you get the same?
She's not the worst actor I've ever seen, but she's also nowhere near the best actress I've ever seen. She was just kind of flat. I didn't care what happened to her until she got with Gina and was with Gina. That's when I was like, well, don't take her out because then you'll take
a little
Gina
too close to Gina right now. Yes.
Right. But otherwise I was like, so escort her out of the building. Who cares?
That's fine.
Get rid of her.
It was nice to have somebody there on the inside, you know, also noticing this stuff, but she just seemed, I don't think she
would. Yeah. Not the best choice.
And speaking of Gina, I was interested to see, you know, Ben gave her his glasses to see if it would foul up facial recognition. I don't know if it would do that much. I mean, I think facial recognition is better these days, and especially when there's a, you know, superior AI doing it in the background.
Right.
But I wanted to see if she would take it off because, or bump into something, because, you know, maybe Ben's got a really serious prescription.
Right.
I mean, I had glasses. I've got contacts now, but when I had glasses growing up, and, you know, they were the stereotypical Coke bottle bottoms, you know, somebody looked in my glasses and tried to, it's like, it was just fuzz. It's just nothing, you know.
Right. So. Yeah. My husband and I are only like 0.5 apart on our prescription. I mean, very little. And still everything is completely blurry when I look through his glasses. So it doesn't take much to not be able to see well through someone else's glasses.
Especially to try to type on a computer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That it would be almost impossible. And the thing is, Paul even specified not even one character wrong.
Yes. Yes. And so that's why she took the glasses off, you know, good thing.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
But so, then hopefully you're not in the field of view of another camera when you have to start typing. Huh?
So I mean, what was the point of the glasses, yeah, right?
I guess to get in, but after that, what do you do now? Yeah.
And they did show her looking at the camera, and the actual picture that the camera had was far away.
Yes.
I did notice that. So who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
It moved the plot along.
Right. Now, was that true about getting every character right when she was really sent in there just to get the correct server?
Well, I imagine that you'd want to get every character right because you want the right program. The program had to do something enough that, you know, it would kick in the security systems and stuff like that.
So it had to compile correctly.
It had to compile correctly. It had to, you know, successfully run. And so, and third step to actually kick in the security, whatever, the virus detection, whatever.
Right.
So
right.
It looked like
it was kicking back as a DDoS attack.
Yeah, over and over and over, you get this. You see the same error message. Well, either that, or it's trying to access like all the servers over and over again. And whenever it hits that one, it says no, not this one. You know,
it kicks it back. Yeah,
kicks that one back.
And so that was what Paul wanted. He wanted to actually target
whichever one she could not get to. Yeah.
Right. Right. So yeah, it was a really smart way to do it on Paul's part.
But again, here's the man not telling the gang the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not really, and this is one of those things I think we saw in one of the flash forwards, with Agent Salazar in handcuffs and being questioned, that, well, you know, once again, he didn't tell us the truth kind of thing, or it's something, words to that effect. And it's okay, I understand that. And a couple of times he'd actually said, if I had told you the truth, would you have let me do it? And, I think he asked it of Salazar at one point, and she said, well, no, but, so he, mm-hmm. he realizes that, okay, I'm going to take you at your word there and not tell you when things are going on. I'll deal with Gene later. I'll take care of her. We can
right.
fix that up later. But right now.
Well, that was the deal with, okay, there are lots of shows I watch where it's like, I've got a plan. The plan goes wrong and then we fix it. Well, in this case, what I liked about it is that Paul didn't really have a clear plan. He was playing it by ear. And when something's happening as fast as this was happening, I don't think you could lay out a full plan. So his plan was, I got to send someone in to get me that server, and then I'll take care of that later.
Yeah, once we find out what it is and what the issue is, you know, maybe we can, you know, set some explosives somewhere. Maybe it's too deep. Maybe it's in a bad position. Maybe, you know, that kind of thing. What right. is wrong? You know, you have to go to the next step before you can know even what to do for the following step. So, yeah.
Exactly. And so that was kind of a realistic point on it. And
yeah,
not just,
I see that.
I've got the whole thing mapped out all the way to the end. We'll go in and we'll get her here and we'll, you know. He was literally playing it by the seat of his pants. And I did like the line when he and Salazar are talking and she says, what can you say to get me to trust you? And he says, nothing at this point. I mean, he just shrugged his shoulder. You won't trust me. So I thought that was also realistic.
Although he was honest when Gina asked, hey, you got any advice? He said, don't take any hostages.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah. He knows from experience.
He does.
Yeah.
He's had some dealings in that area. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, it was nice to see Abby offering to look in on Ty and Ethan. She made that. Let me see. That was her offer. Like Salazar said, I couldn't ask you to do that. And she says, well, I'm offering, you know. So that's you know, it gives her. I would imagine she feels like she needs to be useful.
Right.
And at this point, where they're all going out to put together truck bombs and, you know, get into a CIA or NSA black site and stuff like that, this is probably not her wheelhouse. So
yeah.
She can do something outside of that. I mean.
But hey, taking food, you know, making sure they're safe, she can do that. And what I really liked is, I mean, how sure were you that she was going to go to see Ty and Ethan?
And actually do it? I was pretty sure.
Yeah, me too. I was about 99.9% sure she was going to go.
Why bring it up?
Exactly. I mean, they were hanging a hat on it and they took the hat right off. I knew she was going to be up there. And how much did you like Ty's mom? His mother?
Oh, his grandma?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, Ty's mom.
Ethan's,
not Ethan's mom.
Right.
Ty's mom. Yes, yes, yes. You took off my internet, my webcam and everything. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked her.
I can understand her.
Definitely. 1,000% I can understand her. I was glad she went. She is very sympathetic. She understands a father's connection to their kid. So there's that. And she feels a kinship with Salazar, so she was in a good position to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the saddest moments, I thought, was when, upon, you know, everybody else has gone, Paul has to go and torch the Fortress of Solitude. That
okay.
was, I mean, it's a bunch of machinery and stuff like that, but it's kind of the place where it was like, the new lair for the gang rather than
right.
the official one.
It was refuge.
Yes.
It was a refuge for them. A safe place.
And so basically, now, he's saying that, you know, we have no refuge, you know?
Right. We're not safe.
It's this or nothing.
Right. One thing I do have to say, I had to grit my teeth because you cannot use a lighter to light a fire like that.
Oh, really?
And it bothers me. Yes. You're throwing a lighter through the air. What's going to happen when air blows on the light in a lighter?
It's going to go out.
Right. So as it flies through the air, it goes out and it goes clink and falls on the floor. What you have to do is you have to use the lighter to light something, let it go into flames a little bit, like some paper, then throw it onto the fire. So what would have taken us out of the story if they had done it the right way? I don't know. Is it more dramatic to see him throwing a lighter like a badass onto the fire? I mean,
yeah, I guess so. Yeah. There you go.
But buddy. It bugs me every time I see it. So.
Yeah, those lighters. Now I can't remember the last time I saw somebody who even carried one.
Right.
But I know my grandpa had one, but you could blow that up pretty easily.
Pretty easily, and also the top flaps around on it.
Yes.
It's not like the top stays open the whole
time.
That's
true.
So, yeah, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, they got those special magical Hollywood lighter too.
He has a magical lighter. Okay, got it. Wait a minute.
Yes?
I thought this was science fiction and not fantasy.
Harsh. That's harsh.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying anything bad. It's just one of those things that takes me out of the story.
And
but yeah, I was sad. And, you know, one of the things that made me really sad is when he was torching their, like, serial killer wall.
Oh, yes. They put all that work into it.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. So, yeah.
The serial killer wall.
I'm sorry. That's kind of what it is, isn't it?
You know, I've seen those before, and I would like to see more of, you know, putting it together and how all that red string and pictures all over the place. Does it really help? I mean, I imagine that people, that they'd show that in movies and TV shows because it is something that's done. Is it?
I'm guessing it is, but I don't think it's to that degree. Because if you have so many things overlapping, it would be difficult to actually use that as a useful tool.
I mean, I can see if you've got a lot of, you know, a lot of lines going to the same person. Or from the same person and a couple of hops to somebody else. Maybe, yeah, I can see how that would be.
Or location. Yeah. Or, mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. And if there's like maybe some spacing between things and like you could read stuff.
Had a little more room. Yeah.
Right. But to make something so cluttered, it's really just for us to see how complicated things are. I doubt it would have been useful for them at all. Not to mention they had 100 different other ways to have some sort of a timeline.
Yeah, I mean, they have computers there, you know.
Right.
Scan the pictures and draw the lines. There you are.
And I understood on Person of Interest because it was literally like, well, sometimes they had more than one person up on the board, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But they were still spaced out. And the information they had was like directly with the picture. So that actually made sense. You could look up and get everything at a glance. Looking at that board they had, there's no, you'd have to stand there for 5 minutes to get anything out of it.
Okay.
So yeah.
What is this again?
Yes. Right. Wait a minute. Pull this paper out from under this other paper and then I can read it.
Oh, that's the important piece of information I was looking
right.
for. Thank you.
Exactly. I can't imagine it would have been really super helpful.
Well, the last bit of dialogue and drama we had, melodrama, was CM's homecoming when he finds that his wife and child are living with, was it her brother? Yeah.
Her brother, yes.
And that was kind of, you know, to see all that and to see, you know, what's going on and to see his son, you know, kind of, looks like he's buying into all this and can't get them to cooperate, even though they're going after the government. It just was, I think sad. Mostly the father son thing was the heartbreaker to me.
Yeah. And especially since he went to a lot of trouble to make sure his wife and kid were safe.
Yes.
And then to show up and see that they're just right back where they started, it had to hurt to see that as a dad. I can't imagine that feeling of just knowing whatever I did, you know, I had the house arrest. I'm indebted to people and I'm doing the right thing now, but it's all for nothing.
Hmm. Yeah. To see his son kind of, you know, being that way, yeah, and not seeing a way out of it now since he's gotten in back with the same crowd.
Right.
Well, there was some, one of the favorite scenes that I liked, I've already mentioned, was that, you know, Gina's line with, got any advice? And Paul says, don't take any hostages.
Mm-hmm.
But another one was when Paul was, there was a couple of times where Paul had kind of had a heart-to-heart with Next on the phone there. And it offered him a cure for he and his daughter, for him and his daughter. I've been corrected on that before, for him and his daughter.
For his daughter.
And his daughter, yes.
It has to work with both things.
Yes, it did. So I have been shown. But yeah, that was kind of a, what do you do now? And then at one point, even later in the episode, I believe this was in 9, he just hangs up on Next. It's like, mm-hmm, I'm done with you.
He does it twice, I think, but he did it first in 9, and I thought it showed a tremendous amount of strength on his part, especially since he's been obsessed with saving his daughter from this.
Yes.
So to actually turn that down, you know, he had to have something percolating. Let's see if I can get this wound up and get the cure. I mean, there had to be something.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Mm-hmm.
Right. Which, as we see in the next episode, he actually did, but still, it was a lot of fortitude.
Yep. And speaking of which, we're not there yet. Hang on. Worst scenes first. I thought the interrogation of Gina was pretty, the guy was, what do I know of interrogations, but I don't, just for the record.
Same.
Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know. It just seemed pretty, it just was lame. I don't know. I agree. Do you think so?
Okay. I see way better interrogations on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is a sitcom.
Which is a comedy. Yes.
And mind you, there are some really good ones on there, but still, it should be better on a show like Next.
Yeah. And maybe they didn't have time. I don't know. I'm just trying to
maybe
blow things through
but
here.
It made me feel like she wasn't really in a lot of peril.
Yes. Okay. That's a good way of putting it. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no stake there at all. I mean, once chaos reigns in that building, that guy doesn't, you know, at least from this episode, I felt like, you know, if that guy just wasn't looking, Gina would be able to get away because there's nothing there.
There's no there.
Yeah.
And so our last 5 minutes setup, we've got the guys building a truck bomb. Oh, my goodness. Looks like an Oklahoma City truck. And
yeah, well.
It worked.
It sure did.
Ugh. And of course, that right at the end there, he's ignoring another call from Next and is like, go away.
Yeah, doesn't even pick it up, which I like.
Knowing what comes next, it's like he's just kind of pulling Next along. It's like tantalizing him. You can't get a hold, mm-hmm, of me. No, I will decide when we talk. You know,
right.
You can call, fine, but I will decide when I pick up, and you don't, you ain't the boss of me, which,
right,
again, is in a Brooklyn accent.
He could have very easily thrown that phone out.
And he didn't, yes.
He didn't. So he was stringing Next along, I think, purposefully.
That's the phrase I was looking for, stringing him along. All righty. Well, then, you're good.
That's what I'm here for.
That's what you're here for. I'm forgetting all these wonderful turns of phrases, and you're bringing them up. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's talk about File 9. Fred from the Netherlands has a few thoughts on this.
Hello, Dirk and Karen, or hello, Dirk and Barb.
No, just Karen.
Or hello, Dirk and whoever,
just
or
Karen.
Hello, Dirk and just Dirk.
Karen.
This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Next, File Number 9, or Season 1, Episode 9. Quickly going to make this feedback before I can watch the season finale, or actually, sadly, the series finale. What an amount of personal dramas. Ben and his father died, he fully lost the trust of the rest of the team, including Agent Salazar. CM going to the house of his brother-in-law to get a bomb. He meets his ex-wife and his son, really drama there. His son telling him, I have no father. Shay, who cannot contact her husband and son. Paul LeBlanc sacrificing Gina, but he caught the code, and now he knows what to blow up. It's Natalie fighting for what she thinks is right. Very nice when she met that guy in the corridor. You don't want to be that guy. What guy? The guy that knew that the reactor in Chernobyl would blow up and didn't say anything. It's indeed what is said before. Next is just not manipulating systems, but is also manipulating people, including Paul, suggesting that there would be a cure for the disease or something like that. I think the relationship between Abby and Paul got a little better. And the most marvelous moment, of course, when Paul gets into this video game truck with the kids and he helps out this one kid who had problems with a game he lost all the time. I expect in the next episode that this Natalie and Mason will meet somehow and that he does believe her and perhaps he can do something. Or even that they try to blow up this server farm and they just don't succeed and then this Mason will come to the rescue somehow. Something we all don't expect. We just want to see it go out with a bang. I really wonder if they will have time to wrap everything up in the next episode, or that we will still have a kind of cliffhanger. So, it's time to watch the last episode. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Fred loved it. You know, Fred. I hadn't thought about that, but yes, there was a lot of drama in this. Personal drama, not just, you know, computers with countdowns with almost 100 and, you know, that kind of thing. No, it was actually a good drama episode specifically.
Yep. One thing I did forget, what did they do with Ben?
I think they let him go. They just let him, you know, just don't be a part of this anymore. Just get out of here. And, you know, I can't stop because they knew they were all leaving. They didn't want to leave him in the lurch there. So they just let him go.
To get burned up.
Let him go.
So they had to just let him go. Let him go.
Don't trust him anymore. Let him go.
Let him go. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, open the back middle door. Anyway.
My throat.
Okay. So I love that the human drama in this. And that next is not just a manipulator of machines and emails and things like that, but a manipulator of people. That it knows people well enough that it knows how to push their buttons, so to speak, if I may. Thank you.
Lols.
But to be able to do that is it gives it more of a sinister feel, because it's not just a robot, you know. It knows the humans and the human side of everything. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, and it was a tension filled episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, not tension like, oh my god, I don't know, but there was definitely things pulling against each other in this episode. So,
alrighty, well let's move on down to file number 10, which is
File Nally.
File Nally. Oh man, alive! That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Thank you.
Okay, we got some story titles here.
Right, and I did these myself, which you will see why I said that in a moment.
I see what you did there. Oh.
Thank you. My A story title is self-driving cars. Mm-hmm. My B story title is self-server.
Ooh.
My C story title is self-immolation.
Ow.
And the bonuses are self-defense and self-improvement. So we got self-driving cars, and that's just not the car that tried to run Paul down. I'm talking about the car bomb, you know, all that stuff.
A lot of stuff with the vehicles.
Right? Self-server, finding out what server it was, hacking into the server with a laptop, which you can't do. there's no connection there. Self-immolation, which is, of course, the end of the episode. And then self-defense is Ty and Abby getting away. And self-improvement is... Now, which part of that was it?
That was kind of the TED Talk, the Paul Talk at the end there. Yeah.
The Paul Talk. Exactly. The
Paul Talk. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never, ever again see TED Talks and think just TED Talks. You will always think Paul Talk.
Paul Talk.
Trust me, Paul Talk.
Because of henchmen.
Wait a minute. That was the other TV series.
That was the last podcast.
That was the last podcast. Go on.
Yeah, no henchmen in this.
No. We had, there's just one man at the top or one computer at the top, and he's running the whole show.
That's right. It makes me sad.
Well, yeah, Ty and Ethan were talking about, let's do the self-defense one here. Ty and Ethan boarding up windows. And I understand Ty is trying to keep Ethan, you know, mellow, trying to calm him down. He's hearing shots. Oh, it's fireworks, you know, stuff like that. And they're boarding up windows. Oh, just to be safe. You don't board up windows, you know, just in case. You know, yeah. This is, I think, Ethan may be young, but he wasn't born yesterday kind
He's
of thing.
He's not dumb.
No.
Right.
You're boarding up windows. Something's going on. Yeah.
Well, and he could have said, hey, things are getting dangerous out there. I'm going to do everything I can to keep us safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Period. Instead of lying.
You don't have to go into all the details, but you at least, you know, just let them understand what's happening, you know.
Right.
To a point.
Right.
And then Abby shows up, and that was great to have to show that, yeah, in fact, she went through with that. Did they? I don't recall. Oh, no. She would have known because they were at Paul's mom's house. So I'm sure she could have gotten that information.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow.
She would have found out at some point. Yeah. Just in case.
And then we've got that self-driving car. He's just trying to buy a basic car. Just give me, the cheapy pre-80s or something like that. I forget exactly the years we're talking about. But yeah.
So that guy, the salesman, had to be salivating, right? Wait a minute. You don't want one of the cars I can sell easily? You want one of the cars that's been sitting here forever? Done.
That's it right there, yes.
Right.
And you've got cash in hand?
I'll take it. yeah, so they sell him the old beater. And I love that he just cuts right to the chase. I don't want a car like this. I want the opposite. I want nothing on it. No. And the guy goes, not even a GPS. No,
nothing.
That's the first thing I don't want is a GPS.
The first thing you don't want. Okay.
Right. I mean, that's high on his list of no-nos. No, I don't want to be tracked. So yeah, that I was just thinking about. That salesman lucked into having Paul as his client.
Walk
there.
In at that time, yeah.
Yeah, good timing.
Although those the other people there who are looking to buy a newer car might not buy from that guy anymore.
I'm guessing they won't. At least buy that car.
Yeah, not that model. That's gone for good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
that.
Well,
why
not,
did
we'll
it,
never sell that
why
one
did
again?
The car stop? Though,
well,
out of curiosity.
I'm thinking that was because that Next was just trying to prove its point, you know, to Paul. Said, look, you know, I could have killed you. I can. So don't go through with it. I don't. It may be it may be Next's, if I can say it that way, and I can't. Maybe its way of saying, look, I don't want to kill humanity. I just want you to leave me alone.
And I, just thinking about it just now, I'm thinking maybe Next needed him to stay alive. Like,
that
you know, what
be,
if
yeah.
something goes wrong? He's like the only guy that can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to get this guy on my side type thing. But yeah, it's definitely a flex.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, hey, I can stop about an inch short of killing you.
Well, and it makes me wonder if... Next really would stop all this destruction if Paul would let it go. You know, Paul would just let it run, run rampant and all that.
I think there would still be fallout. Like, it can't stop everything that it put into motion. But
true, but it'd stop whatever's going on and not attack.
I do think it would have pulled back. I do. Because a computer doesn't know. In this case, that computer didn't know how to actually lie. Sorry. My code word is the C word.
Oh, so is mine.
Yeah.
So. And I had something. Hang on, I'm going to mute that.
So mine just went off. I apologize.
Mine went off earlier, but it realized, oh, no,
Eliza.
My thought was that this was kind of this was to give the viewer even, as well as Paul, some thought that there can be a common, you know, a mutual, not mutual sure destruction, kind of a treaty between the two. They can, you know, mutually live together and, you know, Next is going to do things for us and we'll do things for it. And it will, you know, give us a world without war and without disease and all that stuff. And it's not an empty promise. It is something that it can do.
Right.
And it doesn't want to kill us, but it will defend itself. And so you've got. It's not so much that we are fighting against something that is never going to happen. So we have to do this. We really did have a choice between doing it, you know, doing it our way or doing it next way, next way. So it gives a little more, a little more impetus here to say there is maybe there will be a treaty between the two. You know, that doesn't have to end with the blow up. It looks like, you know, it's going to be, oh, the classic thing. Something's got to blow up at the end. And so there we are. But maybe it won't, you know.
Right. Yeah, it did give us that kind of. But the minute it said, I could make it so there won't be world hunger, there won't be this, there won't be that, I was like, oh, hello, Thanos. Are you going to snap your finger and get rid of half of the population in order for that to work? Because. How else do you cure world hunger with a computer like that? I mean, what's it going to do? Allocate everything? Which, you know, we can't even do right. So, it was kind of sinister even to hear that.
That is true. I didn't know about the Thanos side of things. Although I remember from a Person of Interest, as you were speaking of that, there was something, Paul in one of his Paul talks, talked about the AI making everybody happy by putting everyone to sleep. Something similar was in Person of Interest when Harold Finch, who created this, AI machine here, he said that AI could end world hunger by just killing a third of the population.
Right. And that's the same with the Thanos thing is, you know, killing half of everything will stop world hunger. It will stop war. It will stop this. It will stop that, which I guess it's true, but really, is that the way to do things? Not so much.
Not exactly.
So, yeah.
So, you know, the AI isn't human. The AI has its own, all it has is its programming. Now, it may have some very sophisticated programming, but still.
Yeah, but it's still logical to them.
It still works. It still does the thing.
Right. And we're just biological to it. You know, we're like any other biological entity. If you can't help that system, then it doesn't even acknowledge you exist. So, yeah, it's, you know, not killing because it's benevolent doesn't mean it's benevolent. You know?
Just it means you're still useful to it.
Exactly.
Potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get back to the NSA. Speaking of self-server, that was one of the stories. Natalie is... finally gets rescued. She's almost escorted back out of the NSA, but just at the last minute, our dude here, I think Fred mentioned his name, but I don't remember what the name was.
Me neither.
But I'm just calling him Dude.
Yeah, that's fine.
He rescues her from that.
NSA dude.
There we go, because there's some other dudes. I think. But they, yeah, he gets her in the back into the interrogation room with Natalie, and Gina, yeah, mm-hmm. Gina and Natalie and Gina, and that was a very interesting conversation. After he actually looked at, I guess he saw all the stuff that was going on with the blackouts and started to go back through what Natalie had, and they figured, you know, maybe she's got a point here,
right? And I think it was in his head, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want this to come back on me. And he was saving his own butt.
I mean, you could always use that, you know, if you're trying to fake that there's a problem and you don't want to be that guy, you know, well, yeah. But I think after he read her information, then he's like, oh, I don't want to be that guy because I could very well be that guy. This is exactly. Really serious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, someone's going to be that guy, and I don't want it to be me in this case. It can be all these other guys, but not me.
All these other dudes.
Yeah, dudes, exactly. And so he sits there, and he's listening to these two ladies talk about getting onto the server, and he made a big point to show them his badge. Well, mine is the only badge that can get in there.
And slaps it on the table.
And then all of a sudden, he's gone, and the badge is still there. And I was like, okay, so he left it. He had to have left it, right?
Yeah, on purpose, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that was the whole point there. I know I can't do anything, you guys can. And he gets a little bit of, if everything goes wrong, he gets a little plausible deniability.
Exactly. He can say they took it, or, you know, he can
did
make
I
all
leave
kinds
it?
Of
Did
excuses.
I leave it? Really?
Right, right. So I think that was his way to have his toe in, but the rest of his body out of it. I love that Natalie doesn't notice it. She's so milk toasty. Hmm. You know, it's just like, what? What's happening? And Gina sees this. I mean, it's out in the open on the table.
There it is.
Look, we can get on. And Natalie's like, oh, wow. Yeah, I agree with you. I did not enjoy Natalie at all.
Yeah, yeah, had a little bit left a little to be desired, but it was a good character. We needed her to get things moving.
Right.
The finishing up of the story with CM and his son Cody, and we find out that Cody has not been brainwashed by his mom and his uncle. And
thank goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was a good ending, but I wonder, depending on how long a kid like that has been brainwashed, basically, how resistant are they to that? I mean, he says, well, after they would go to sleep, I would go watch other YouTube videos. Okay, fair enough. But when the authority figures in your life are telling you one thing, and they have a lot of other friends who all say the same thing, it can be hard to resist that, I would think.
Yeah. You want to believe what the people you love are saying. So, and his mom's not helping any. You know, it's not like she's teaching him any different. She may not be teaching him to be intolerant, but she's definitely not aiming him away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like, CM, take your kid out. Take your kid out of that house.
I don't care
what happens to your wife. Take your kid out. Because that's what we need to do, is stop that kind of thought in its tracks. So it kind of hurt to see that whole thing go down. And I'm assuming he had to leave them behind and just hope that she would get out of that house.
I was glad to see that the kid had, had not followed in his father's footsteps. I think it might have been a little unrealistic. Just to say, oh, I've been fine all along. So, I mean, it's, you know, they didn't have time to resolve that, like, over time or anything like
that. No.
So,
no, they just wanted to give us hope that his son would be okay.
Yeah, yeah. No matter what happened to CM or whatever situation Cody found himself in. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
But that was nice. That was a good.
It was good.
And there was a nice heart-to-heart between Shay and Ty afterwards. It was good to have, for them to have the heart-to-heart kind of resolve some of this stuff, but as we've, I think as Barb and I were talking about before, why was there a problem in the first place, frankly?
Yeah. Where was that beat in the story? I mean, did he not like how hard she worked, or?
But he didn't like how he lied about her father, that he was dead rather than telling them that he was in jail in Honduras, and
right.
So he left and went to his mom's place. Well, he'd be safer there. How I wasn't sure. Yeah, how you made that connection, Ty?
You know?
And getting upset and okay, we needed some sort of conflict in there. Okay, that maybe that's the case, but. I wasn't sure that's the way to do it.
Exactly. There's 10 different other ways they could have done it. Easier.
And a little more believable, yeah.
Right. But again, it's one of those, whatever. That's what they wanted to write, so.
Alrighty. Well, then we get to the attack. This is the big attack here. Paul, now I liked this line from Paul saying, Shay was Next's biggest miscalculation, that he couldn't have known, or Next could not have known how well she was going to handle this and mm-hmm. be tenacious.
Right. And it's true.
You can't say no to that.
Yeah, that's pretty much what set the whole thing up. And the fact that Ethan had that connection with Eliza.
Yes.
And again, that was because of her. So
true, yes.
Yeah, it was.
There's a good influence of the authority figures on the child, yeah.
Exactly. She was the linchpin in all of this, and he was right to say that.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think that's why he drove on without her.
I agree 100%. Plus, he did lay out all these arguments in the last episode. You know, while my kid doesn't hate me 100%, but you've got a son and a husband. And one of the things before we go on to Paul driving on off without her, she goes in and she takes those two guards hostage, right? Well, this is an NSA black site. You don't know where I'm going with this, but still.
I'm thinking that maybe they would have guarded a little better.
A little better, but they don't want to make it look like an NSA black site.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a big sign on the door that says NSA.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not
when
see
she
that.
Goes in to take them hostage, there's a huge sign on the door that says NSA.
But it's a and white site. It's a white site. Trust us. Yeah.
Yeah. Not so black or white either. I was really let down by that. You know, just don't put the sign up. Leave it off.
Paper company. Paper company.
Yeah, it's Dunder Mifflin.
Okay, I was just going to say that. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was upset about the sign. And again, this is something that not, you know, the regular watcher wouldn't see it. But it bothers me, I guess. Like the lighter.
Somebody was not, this is an NSA black site, so we'll print up some signs that say NSA on it. How's that sound?
Right.
No.
Yeah, they had to literally do that, right?
On purpose. Yep.
Yeah. So, like, there's no huge gate or anything.
Yeah, somebody could just bang right through there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They could have.
Yeah, indeed. Well, except that they would have been...
they would have been surrounded.
Yeah, early on, yeah. So they needed some way to... Yeah,
they did it the right way. I'm not debating. I think she did a great job of making sure that they were taken care of, but not in a bad way. You know, just tied up and left there.
You guys are staying down, yes.
Right. And then she made her way towards the building because she and Gina kind of meet halfway. As the building
yes, that's
being
true.
Evacuated.
She's got to do what she can, at least, yeah.
Right, and I don't think she was going after Paul so much as she was going to see if she could help Gina. She was going to use her being left behind to their advantage.
Yeah, yeah, keep useful, yeah.
Right. She recalculated at that point. So, that I thought that was good. Paul, I think Paul maybe was killing two birds with one stone, thinking if I leave her here, she's still here in case she can get Gina out, but I am going on without her so that she is out of harm's way.
Yeah. I'm just thinking too. He's ready to give himself up.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't want anything to happen to Shay.
Right.
Because she got pulled into this, not out of her own, nothing she did.
And I probably, if I were Shay, I would have let him. Because honestly, like he said, he only has a few months left.
Yeah, yeah.
As it is. And, you know, that's kind of, it's a no lose situation there.
Sorry, Paul. Just calling it like it is.
Well, I would have.
Yeah. Well, and Paul talks to Next and calls it like it is there. He wants proof. And I'm thinking that he's hoping that I think he probably predicted this would happen, that Next gives him like a third of the information.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was going to let Next, you know, feed him whatever partial information he would feed him and then go with that. I don't think there was ever a doubt in his mind that it's like, well, if I hold out longer, he'll get... No, give me what you got, and then we're going to do this anyway. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think the system was going to... was never going to give him the full information until everything was pulled back. And I think he knew that, being as he was kind of the co-creator of it. You know, he would know what the thinking would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I put thinking in air quotes. Because it's a system. I'm not using the C word. It's a pewter.
It's a pewter. There you go.
Yeah.
You don't want to kick in your Eliza there. No.
No, I do not. But yeah, Next, he knew what Next was going to do. And he just wanted to get as much out of it as he could. So, and I think that was a lot of why he didn't just toss the phone. You know, let's see what I can get out of it. Since it's saying it's going to give me a cure, let's see if I can get anything out of it. And then kind of, you know, lulling it into this false sense of security as if it has a chance of getting through to Paul. If it does, then he can get away with a lot more. If he throws the phone away,
he's lost
panics.
It all, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, the other thing too is that, you know, so, you know, Paul, the thing's going to blow up in 20 seconds. The guys run away as fast as they can. Paul runs into the place. Place blows up. Paul's thought to be dead. My thought is, though, is that if he, you know, he asked for the information, he got a third of it, he kept the phone, and he runs off. You don't do that if you're there to, you know, suicide bomb, essentially, the bad guy. So.
Exactly. And he must see him actually go into the building?
Yeah, he turns around and goes toward... He doesn't run away from
the building.
He's already kind of... He's parked inside a garage there. But then he goes in, I thought, you know, toward the inside of the building. And if that's the case, either he... he has to know there's a place that he can be safe from this. Because he's... How far can he go in that much time?
Right.
But also the idea he knows he can survive it because he gets information, keeps phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he knows something. He may not know about that black site, but he knows if he can find maybe a concrete barrier or something, he can try to survive. I don't think he was sure he was going to survive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure he had alternate plans for the future. If he managed to survive and he was going to try, then he would set some things into motion. Plus, he also promised CM that he would give him his lawyer.
Yes.
And I thought if he was planning on just suicide bombing, I don't think he would have said that.
Made that promise, yeah.
Right.
Well, then we blow up and every, you know, it's a Hollywood trope. That, you know, you gotta have a big explosion. If it was, throw this virus in there and it'll kill it, not very dramatic.
Not as exciting.
No. But
I do understand the logic behind it, though. If you destroy the machine, you destroy everything.
Yeah.
If you destroy code, it's kind of harder to...
to make sure it's completely gone, yeah.
Right.
So everything's blown up, and we get the nice little title card of 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And things are going, we get to see where everybody's, you know, it's like kind of like the end of those movies where they say, at the, you know, 6 months later, so-and-so went on to do this, and this character went on to do that.
Like at the end of Animal House. It does it at the end of Animal House.
It does, yes.
Yeah.
Abby has the disease, we find out, but she gets an invitation to participate in a sleep study by an anonymous donor.
Right. And that made me realize that Paul was alive, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question in my mind. It was Sri Lanka, for one, which was the information he was given by Next.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was like, okay, he's alive.
And given to her the information by Paul, I'm sorry, by Ted, who's, you know, he's coming around. He's kind of rebuilding, I guess. But I think with a new, a different mindset.
A completely different mindset. And not just that, but he takes full responsibility.
Yes.
You know, saying, it was our machine that caused all this. I would know. So I liked that there was accountability. It wasn't just his usual kind of, I'm not seeing it, so I don't care, la, la, la. You know,
somebody else's fault.
Right.
We have Shay in jail. Somebody had to go to jail. Uh-huh. And I that's a line out of National Treasure that I always come back to where, you know, hey, somebody's got to go to jail. So you find someone to do it. And she's the one. She was the top of the food chain. You know, she was the person in charge.
Yeah, and she's not rich, which Ted actually says, they'll come after me because I'm rich, but, what's going to stick to me? And poor Shay, you know, not rich, so guess what?
Yep, so she's visiting her family through glass there in the little phone, but it was nice, you know, at least things are, you know, they sounds like they do visit her very often because she was... She knew maybe Ethan's previous scores, grades, and got to see the new ones and all that stuff. So they do make it, they do visit her regularly, which is nice. But it's troubling to see her in jail. And we see Gina and CM working together, which, of course, is, you know, one of those things was, we weren't sure what the relationship was going to be there. It was kind of tropish to get the two opposites to come together, but they're at least working together to get justice for her. So.
Right. I think they're friends now.
Yeah, at least
you can't go through something like this. And
yes.
He also was very upset when she was sent in as a sacrifice. So
yes,
I do.
And
think
Gina, you know, I'm sure would have been told that. Yeah.
Right. So, and you know, I'm sure he went to her and said, "I'm so glad you're okay." I mean, there has to be some kind of a friendship forked there. Well, I was going to say something. Oh, side note. Is that how complicated report cards are now? Do you remember what your report card looked like?
Just letters on them there. Yeah.
It was like an index card.
Yeah.
In my case, with little boxes for every little thing, you know, this, A, C, A, C. And then always on mine doesn't live up to her potential. Always, almost every time, because I talked a lot. Not that you would know that. But yeah, I was like, is that a report card I'm seeing? It was like a booklet, like a newsletter.
Oh, yeah, threefold and a whole bit.
Yeah,
that's a deity.
It was a lot.
Now, in high school, my kids got this, you know, computer printed out thing with the whole bit there and comments and everything like that. So, I don't know what they are these days in, you know, elementary school or whatever.
I was just blown away by how big it was. 'Cause I literally remember an index card size report card from my teacher. So, ouch.
Ouch.
What kind of think pressures are we putting on our kids?
Oh, yeah, really.
That there has to be like 10 different categories that they get a grade in.
Of things, yeah.
That makes me sad. But anyway, sorry. Let's go back to the show.
The show? You know what? One of the things that bugged me was one of my worst scenes here is getting around this black site, you know, like you said, getting into it in the first place and moving around within it. They were doing it so easily, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, they're having to give a kind of a handicap to Next so that it doesn't find Gina, you know? I mean, you see occasionally they're walking down the corridor and you'll see in the corner, they see, you know, person number one, person number two.
Right.
And there, and it's where is so Next in all this? Yeah.
It's tracking them, but yeah, why do we see those if there's no payoff?
At some point, you know, like you said, they go into the server room with a laptop and they hook up to the one server and they get the information from it that'll prove that Next is there. And it's like, where is all the people, the security, where are all the cameras and why isn't Next watching them, you know?
Right.
I
know normal people haven't been in a server room, but have you ever been in a server room?
I have.
Okay. Same here. When is it ever empty? Ever. I mean, there's people wandering around server rooms all day long, like 24/7. There are people in the server room, not just one person, not just security.
A few people.
But there's people because servers need to be looked at all the time. And there's also no just plug where you can stick a USB port into a server and hook the laptop up. So that always bothers me, is you can't just, you know, hook into a particular server. They're kind of closed systems. There are things that you can hook up to it, but it's more like, it looks more like a car battery thing, you know, where there's one or two different things.
Oh, okay.
That
yes.
You have to do. And it's not just a regular laptop. It's usually like a specific type of machine that you have to plug in.
And with NSA, so, you'd have something like, you know, a fingerprint login instead of, you know, password, that kind of thing.
Exactly. It's so secure. Even one that runs a restaurant. I mean, it wouldn't matter what a server runs. There's like triple factor authorization on it. So like I said, there's not a USB port on it ever. So, again, this is one of those things that takes me out of it. But number one, there's nobody milling around the server room. It's just completely empty every time we see a server room. No security sitting outside the door. They just wander in. I mean, even if you had a pass card, there would still be someone there. And I don't know. Just bugs me.
Well, the one line that was that took me out as well is a third of the server core has been rewritten.
Oh,
it's rewriting it all the time. I mean, you know, this is memory. We're writing, reading, and writing memory all the time. And I mean, it's
correct.
And the server, core.
And what is it rewriting to? You know, what are you looking at that you're saying that? Are you saying it's backing itself up? Are you saying it's rewriting itself? Because if it's rewriting itself, it's not doing anything. It's just writing the same information over and over again.
Well, making changes to the program. So I could see where you usually, like I've known some computers where when you load up a program, the program code itself in memory cannot be rewritten. So,
right.
so that you don't accidentally screw things up. So a third of the server core has been now in some cases there are programs where you can or you know systems where you can rewrite the code of the program and I can see where you could say a third of the you know something or else something else is being rewritten a third of the
right.
The program that is doing you know
yeah it looks like it's
yeah I knew,
it's halfway I'm, there or it's
yeah
it's well on its way but a third of the server core.
The core is being rewritten all the time.
It's like hitting the escape button to hack into a machine. It just It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't but work that way.
It's making her look smart, I guess.
They needed technobabble.
Right. In making her look smart to people who don't know what she's saying, it makes her look dumb to people who do know what she's saying, unfortunately.
Need some more consultants in there in the writing room. But anyway. Now, the final, we get it, you know, I've always talked about the final 5 minutes setup for the next episode. We get a final 5 minutes setup for what I assume would have been a second season, or at least to give us that option. And they're investigating the rubble afterwards. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, going through all the stuff, and one guy picks up a hard drive, kind of dusts it off, gets the all the dust off it, sticks it in a reader, an external reader, and walks away. I'm thinking, okay. And it starts to go, and it looks like it's probably next waking up or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how big of a hard drive that was. And I know we have them in the terabyte ranges.
Yeah, we have really big hard drives, but not like a server big.
Yeah, so it's like if Next was on there. Now, like, for example, at the very beginning, it kind of, they said it put itself onto one server and it got, you know, taken off, you know, compressed itself onto one server and took it. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's decompressing itself again. But still, a server is going to have a lot more than one hard drive in it.
Right.
And
it would be hundreds probably.
Yeah, and so in order to get to get Next on there, you could do some maybes here.
It could be the server core of Next.
The server core rewriting itself again. Oh my goodness.
Exactly, onto this hard drive. Man.
But now I was interesting, and I keep thinking I want to go back and watch this. But IMDb, which of course is the source of all true knowledge about movies and TV, there's a little trivia section for each movie and TV episode and stuff like that that you look at. Sometimes it has nothing in it. Sometimes it has a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the trivia items in this for this episode suggests that it looks like it's Paul who is there and picks up the hard drive and puts it in.
Okay, it is.
Oh, yeah?
And if you pause it at just the right point, you can see his reflection in the monitor of that computer.
Ah. Okay.
So
now I will have to go back.
Yes, I verified it is him. I mean, you can see it pretty clear if you pause it exactly the right time. So it is. It's Paul.
That's brilliant.
Yep.
I mean, from a shooting, you know, you just see a little bit there. It's since we can go frame by frame, you know, through everything these days, it's nice that they kind of threw that right in there and said,
right. And they knew that people would be looking. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it is smart. And it's not easy to record something like that on TV, on film. They have to do something special in order to show that there's a reflection there.
Oh, I see.
So they did it on purpose.
I gotcha. Alrighty. Well, I like that. I like that idea. That's great.
Too.
Well, I'm just so sorry that we don't have any more Next.
Now, mind you, we were pretty sure that Timeless was dead, and then they had a movie.
They
so
did?
Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows? All righty. Well, that's the end of file number 10. Let's do some feedback for file number 10.
Let's hear some listener feedback. It's always good to get more voice samples for my database.
Voice samples for your database. All right, well, here, take one from Barb.
Hi, Karen and Doug. This is Barb calling in with feedback for the series finale of Next, Files 9 and 10. I'm giving the combined Eppies 7 computer forensic techs who should have known better than to fire up a drive into a computer knowing that a rogue AI was just blown up. I mean, seriously. Come on, guys, use some smarts. Karen, I'm so glad you're back, and it's great to have you and Doug wrap up this series. Now, overall, I thought it was an interesting little show. There were lots of plot holes, unfortunately, but hey, I enjoyed the popcorn along the way. But I still think it was really creepy how the writers predicted a lot of the future.
Mm.
I didn't like that at all, and I still think maybe that's why the show was canceled. Who knows? Anyway, here are my random thoughts on those two episodes. Closure. Well, we saw CM have his happy little family reunion, so he got some closure there, although that was really never a real part of the storyline until the very end for him, so I Guess they just felt like they had to throw him something there. Now, Shay, she got closure with her family, and Ty stopped acting like a jerk when he thought that she was going to die in the suicide mission. But his personality really seemed to undergo the greatest head-scratching change during the series.
Oh.
And was anybody else reminded of Independence Day when Shay put the picture of her family on the dashboard as
yes.
she prepared to drive
yes.
the bomb truck? I was. I thought that that looked like right out of Independence Day. Then Ted, well, he got off the hook on his charges, and Abby is going to go to the sleep therapy trial, and we were given enough hints to lead us to believe that Paul actually survived, but how far away from a gigantic bomb blast can you run in 20 seconds? And that's something I'm not going to test out,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think anyone else should either. But that
don't try this at home. Okay.
Right.
Continuing.
Seemed a little unrealistic. I suppose that would have been their season 2 lead-in. That and our AI. But anyway, speaking of flames, the bunker bathroom went up in them, but not until poor Ben had been locked in there. And that's the second time the bathroom has been used for incarceration. But what a terrible way for him to find out about his father's death, by being called out to look at it on a computer screen. And Ben used incredibly poor judgment, and he may have been a rat or a mole, you know, take your pick. But really, there are more compassionate ways to tell someone that their loved one has died. What did I think was the biggest loss of all out of all of that? Well, had to be all the toilet paper that burned in the fire. There was still use for that. Now, Gina, she temporarily got a new sidekick about Natalie, the systems analyst. This one, though, just really went way beyond what I thought was realistic, because Natalie was fired, but then she was told she was allowed to stay at the end of the day at a black site NSA facility. Hey, HR department, ever heard of sabotage or retaliation by a fired employee? That was just not realistic, but obviously they needed to do that for the plot point. But as a result of that, Doug, you finally got to hear the whirling of the fans and the server
yes.
room as Next worked to deliver its outages to the world. So I have a feeling that probably made you happy, because you said you wanted to hear that. But speaking of outages, the reporter at the beginning talked about all the protests and riots all over the place, but she also said that there were only 3 blackouts. Yet at the end of file 8, the team was all around the computer screen, and we saw a whole lot more outages than that. So, hey, where is the Swiss cheese? Now, it's apparently risky to be in Congress and in the government. First, you had a falling elevator, then a car wreck, then a helicopter crash. And I thought the show went a bit over the top, and that's really all I'm going to say about that, because, like I said, this whole thing has been a little creepy. But I learned something new today. Robert Williams really was killed in 1979 by a
yep.
robot arm. Very fascinating bit of trivia, but not terribly reassuring.
Thank you.
How many deaths again have we had on this show? Well, Karen and Doug, thanks for taking us on this journey. Really appreciate your work on the podcast, and hope to hear you both again sometime in the not-too-distant future. This is Barb signing out. And one thing I do have to agree with was Paul's comment. For super intelligence, you're pretty stupid. Hey, Google and Alexa, did you hear that? So, wait, no. What are you doing? Stop!
Oh, maybe Barb's the next, casualty. Oh, my goodness.
She is 100% right. Robert Williams does exist. Well, did exist. He was working in a Ford plant, and a robot hit him in the back of the head and pushed him into a shelving unit where he was killed immediately. And he was not found for a couple hours.
Ugh.
His family was awarded $10 million, though. So there's that.
Got that. Oh, my God.
And that was a lot. That was in 1979. So it was the early 80s by the time they got that payout. And what would that be, like $1 billion now?
Wow. Oh, yeah. I have no idea. But that's, yeah, it would have to be something big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, I was actually kind of taken aback that they used a real example there.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things that they have always been, in this show, kind of working from what already exists and just pushing it a little farther, you know, a little farther. Person of Interest did the same sort of thing.
Yeah, I think Person of Interest was behind the curve, and then I got scared when it got canceled and things started happening. It seemed like they could have been on First of Interest. Like, you know, we caught up to what was happening on there. That one was now this one next is like a little bit of both. I mean, there's definitely that kind of, the net sort of stuff. That's, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
I have not.
Okay. Sandra Bullock's a hacker. And this is the example I use where she hits the escape key in order to hack into something. that was actually in that movie. So, I mean, there's some of that going on in the show. And then on the other end, there's stuff that is 1,000% believable. And not just that, but we know things like this are happening. So it was, I would have rather seen it in the middle more, to where it doesn't scare me. And then it doesn't make me go, oh, really? Did you just say that? but yeah, I share Barb's sentiment that, yeah, it was a little creepy sometimes.
But it was creepy because it was potentially realistic.
Yep. Right. Mm. Exactly right.
Okay, Fred, after having watched number 9 and given his feedback, then he watched number 10 by itself. And here's his feedback for that.
Hello, Dirk and Karen, or hello, Dirk and Barb,
Karen.
Or hello, just, Dirk and whoever, just or Karen. Hello, Dirk and
Karen.
Just Dirk.
Just Karen. Yeah.
This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for next season 1. Episode 10, the season and series finale.
File now.
I fully expected that Stubborn Abby is going to get Ty and Ita and Grandma, and she does, fortunately. What I didn't expect is that Abby seems to have the disease, the familial fetal insomnia, as we see in the last scene, almost the last scene of the episode. The very last scene, if you see that guy hook up that damaged or not so damaged drive, it's just a hookup to a possible second season, which we don't get. But if you take that scene out, it's a perfect ending, actually. And they really close the series up in a proper way. I'm not dissatisfied. I'm just dissatisfied that it didn't get its second season because I liked the interactions, I liked the theme, etc. A few of the funniest scenes happened with the car seller, so that LeBlanc didn't want the best car and that there suddenly was driving a car on itself. Less funny but with a good ending is the whole CM family story with his wife or ex-wife and his ex-brother-in-law. And that he finally did get a kind of connection to his son. Another thing I saw coming is that Paul would double cross Shay and took off with the van. Very best line of the episode was by Paul. To next, you know, for a super intelligence, you really are pretty stupid. So, Ty and Shay are okay. CM and his son is more or less okay. And at the end, Abby and her Uncle Ted are sort of okay. Well, Doug, thanks for this ride. I really like the series, and I really wonder if I would have picked it up by myself. If you're ever going to do this again, I hope it can be together with Karen. Karen, I wish you all the best, and I hope it will be a series with more seasons. Greetings. All the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Aw.
Thanks so much.
And it is me, Fred.
It is actually you, yes.
It's me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was, so hopefully something with a few more seasons than like just one, but yeah. Yeah,
Let's aim for that.
Well, you never know. Next time, ba-doom, hey, there we are. I like the line, yeah, for a super intelligence, you're pretty stupid. I think
everyone likes that line.
Everyone does, but I think that they had to, again, like I was talking about, you know, when they're walking through the NSA and they just get cameras, I think they had to make it stupid, you know, in some cases there.
They did.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
thanks so much, Fred, for your feedback during this time. And thanks, Barb, for your feedback and your co-hosting abilities. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Barb, so much.
That worked out nice. And finally, we have something from X-Force 11 about 9 and 10 and 11. No.
Hello, Doug, Karen, and Next fans. Well, this is about the last two episodes of the series, and it left us with a good conclusion, even leaving things a little open, but it was a lot of fun. Thank you for covering this series. This is X-Force 11 signing out.
Thank you. There you
go. That's it?
That's it.
Aw, Jeff, come on. I miss him so much.
Yeah, those were our three big audio commenters. Thank you so much. We always love audio comments. And when we do something like this in the future, audio is so much better than us talking, speaking your words. We'll do that too. Feedback that way is just as good as well. But we love to hear your voices. Okay, one last time here, we're going to have some... Next in the news. Alrighty, this is out of Berlin, Germany. Ooh. The headline is, No Stopping AI? Scientists conclude there would be no way to control super intelligent machines. Mm-hmm. That's the headline. Wow.
Yep.
From self-driving cars to computers that can win game shows, like the one did in Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Humans have a natural curiosity and interest in artificial intelligence. As scientists continue to make machines smarter and smarter, however, some are asking, what happens when computers get too smart for their own good? From The Matrix to The Terminator, the entertainment industry has already started pondering if future robots will one day threaten the human race. Now, a new study concludes that there may be no way to stop the rise of the machines. An international team says humans would not be able to prevent super artificial intelligence from doing whatever it wanted. Oh, wow. That's a classic.
That's scary.
Yeah, man. You know, if scientists from the Center for Humans and Machines at the Max Planck Institute have started to picture what such a machine would look like. Imagine an AI with an intelligence far superior to humans. So much so that it could learn on its own without new programming. If it was connected to the internet, researchers say the AI would have access to all of humanity's data and could even take control of other machines around the globe. You know, that sounds like a premise of a TV show.
It does. I think it would make a really good TV, at least a one-season TV show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is very interesting. There'll be a link to it in the show notes. Very interesting article about how you would try to rein something like that in. At some point, if the intelligence gets too much, then it might bribe a fella to give it the Wi-Fi access and get out on the internet.
That's right.
Something
or
like that.
It could be like Janet from The Good Place.
Oh, what did she do?
She was not a robot, not a woman. She made it very clear that she was none of those things. Whenever you said her name, Janet, she would boom, pop in, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then she'd have whatever you needed. She knew everything, every information ever. She could conjure things. She could do all. So it could be like Janet, a benevolent type of AI, although she wasn't an AI. I mean, it's one of the jokes in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where they say, you know, you're a pretty smart robot. She goes, not a robot. She always, you know, you're a pretty lady, not a lady.
But she gets smarter every time she gets rebooted.
Yes, exactly right. So there's that. But she was always, you know, on their good side, always with them.
Yes.
So it could be.
Could be.
Janet.
The article ends, the study concludes that containing an artificial intelligence is an incomputable problem. No single computer program can foolproof No single computer program can find a foolproof way to keep an AI from acting harmful if it wants to. So you couldn't have another computer program reining in the AI.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers add that humans may not even realize when super intelligent machines actually arrive in the tech world. So, are they already here?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, man alive.
Well, it's going to happen.
So there's your bit of good news for the day.
You know, Stephen, one of Stephen Hawking's things was that he knew it was going to happen. He said, at some point it will happen. So we need to stop.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't go there.
Right. And I have to agree with him. It's going to happen. But I don't know that we're going to stop ever looking for that kind of thing.
People will continually try to do that, I'm sure.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure. And we're becoming number to it. You know, we're,
number, yes.
We don't number, yeah.
More number.
That's it. What you said. We care less and less about having like these Eliza type things on our desk and, you know, something that will type out what we say. And we're kind of letting that creep into our daily life. And while I don't care so much about it, I do care.
At some point, yeah.
Right. I would like for there to be a demarcation somewhere.
I remember watching Star Trek reruns in the 70s. And today, I feel like we're living in a Star Trek world. Tablets where you just tap stuff on there. Like you said, when people are just, you talk, it transcribes what you're saying. You've got smart speakers that'll turn your lights on and off and give you all kinds of information. This is just like my young child's dream world, you know, kind of, mm-hmm. Where does it go from here? You never know.
We're getting all the good things from it, which is good. And we're past flip phones. So we're
which
ahead
is really
of Star
good.
Trek there.
Oh, yeah.
But we're not in space. We're not in flying cars. We're still pretty far behind the curve on that kind of thing. I don't want flying cars. Don't get me wrong. If we could fly our cars, that would be a bad thing. We can't even drive them right. So I don't know. I'm so torn. I want it to be like Star Wars, but then I don't want it.
Mm.
Yeah, I have this conflicting thing inside myself whenever I think about growing technology. But, you know, let's do what we do with climate change and let our kids deal with it, right?
Good luck with that, kids.
There you go. Pat on the head.
Yeah, I remember there was a song, and I forget exactly when specifically it came out, but the title will tell you when, in general. The song was, "It's the 80s, Where's Our Rocket Packs?"
Mm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the 2020s and still not here.
Still no rocket packs.
Still not here.
Although we have a guy who has a rocket pack.
Somebody does, yes. Rocket pack.
No, he flies around.
LAX. Yeah.
Right. He flies around LA. I think that it's definitely specialized just for him because other people have tried it. And their pants go on fire and stuff. I mean, it's not a good
it's
thing.
It's not the easiest thing to deal with, no.
Right, right. So I don't want a rocket pack just for... And also, I want to put a caveat. I am not saying anything bad about... We need to do something about climate change now. I am not putting that off. I just was being flippant. So
all
just
right.
Don't get mad at me.
Flippancy there, just so you know, folks.
Yes.
Well, Karen, this has been fun.
It has been.
Oh, man. And we've been not so... It's yeah, I didn't like the fact that you weren't here for a lot of it.
I know.
That's so bad.
Trust me, no one was hating it more than me.
Oh, yeah. Mono can really take you out.
Don't... pro tip. Do not get mono as an adult.
Pro tip. Okay.
It's terrible. It was... Oh, I thought I was dying sometimes. It was just... It was bad. Just... coughing fits and anyway, don't get it as an adult. Well, that's my tip.
Between that and your needy customer, we wanted to wait until we had the opportunity to get you on because I know everybody would want to hear that. And
yeah, I wanted to, and I really wanted to because this is I miss talking to you, Doug, and that's part of it. And part of it is I just miss talking about stuff like this.
This is fun, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but that's it for now, folks. We are done with Next. As long as Next is done with Next, we shall see. Like you
what's
said, maybe
next?
Maybe time. Oh, yes, indeed. Maybe Timeless, like Timeless did, maybe it come back for something. Who knows? If it does,
you never know.
If it does, we'll be here. If not, it's been nice talking to you.
And we'll probably find something at some point to talk about.
Yeah. So keep keep an eye out in the Facebook group, and we'll be talking to you there. I'm Doug Payton. You can find me on Twitter. You can. At Doug Payton, DougPayton.
And I'm Karen Lindsay. I am at Aleveria on Twitter, Aleveria.
And remember, if a superior AI starts coming after you,
don't stick around to find out what's next. Say goodbye, Eliza.
Goodbye, Eliza. And remember, when computers take over the world, nothing can possibly go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong.
Can you unplug that?
Unplug what?
Unplug Eliza, please.
Oh.
But that's not me. I'm your Google Assistant.